Blog Talk Radio.
Good after morning. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. Broadcasting all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm so familiar with this place, I can't pronounce it. Here we are. Okay, so mixed bag today. I've had a few things on my mind, and since we had another show this week, technically, I mean, it was actually last week's show or last Sunday's show, but last Sunday I had been out of town on business, and I was getting ready to leave, and plus had some a birthday celebration for my daughters, and so it was just a full schedule and more than I could squeeze into that one day, and so we finally ended up doing it on Thursday night about 11 o'clock, and so I know some of you listened in, or at least listened to the archive. I saw some of the numbers, and I appreciate that. We kind of talked about the name of the show was In Sickness and Health, and In Health. But I kept calling it, I know a couple of times I caught myself, I called it Till Death Do Us Part. So I got the name wrong a couple of times, but it was all in the vowels, you know. But anyway, so that was, I was kind of, I guess, you know, being so late at night, and it was kind of a real personal show. You know, I was really just talking about the experiences that Above Average Joe and I had been through, and so far as illness and just the challenges that you have in marriage from that perspective. So today, mixed bag, we've got a few things we're going to talk about, and I invite you to call in 914-219-0884. That's 914-219-0884. If you got something you want to talk about out of thin air, if it's not politics or religion, we'll talk about it. If you know, I might not know anything about it, but you know, I'll be happy to go, so to start out, we're going to do album of the week, and since I haven't gotten any more nominations, I again have chosen album of the week. And that album is Stevie Ray Vaughan, Live Alive. That's I like about all of Stevie's albums. Well, not about all of them. I like them all. I mean, some I like more better than others, but I like his Live Alive album. I like the Carnegie Hall album, too. But anyway, that's the one I picked. So I challenge you to email me at averagejo@carolina.rr.com and nominate your favorite album, and by the end of the month, whatever nominations we have, Above Average Joe and myself will get together and we'll figure out who's going to win the album of the month. So, and don't worry, it won't include my picks from album of the week. That's just my thing. So, all right, let's get on with it. This day in history, again, kind of picking from the war history theme that I have a tendency to lean towards. This day in history, 1945, the Japanese battleship Yamato is sunk by Allied forces. On this day in 1945, the Japanese battleship Yamato, ostensibly the greatest battleship in the world, is sunk in Japan's first counteroffensive in the struggle for Okinawa. Weighing 72,800 tons and outfitted with 9 18.1-inch guns, the battleship Yamato was Japan's only hope of destroying the Allied fleet off the coast of Okinawa. But insufficient air cover and fuel cursed the endeavor as a suicide mission. Struck by 19 American aerial torpedoes, it was sunk, drowning 2,498 of its crew. So, not so good for the Japanese, but kind of a little bit of got you back for Pearl Harbor, I guess. You know, war is a terrible thing. I hate to hear about anybody suffering, but, you know, that's the way our humankind has been through the ages. We're always beating on each other and shooting at each other over something. So, you know, there you go. So, kind of, you know, I'm doing a mixed bag today. And like I said, if you want to call in, 914-219-0884, and talk about anything other than politics or religion, I'm, you know, I'll hear you out. You know, I might try to even have a relatively good conversation with you about it. And I might not. I don't know. Depends on what I know about it. So sticking with the so first of all, just off of my list, you know, I was thinking about that this day in history and the Yamato being sunk, and it got me to thinking about ships, and I've kind of gotten a renewed interest, I guess. I've always had an interest in ships, but I recently purchased myself I like to read mostly nonfiction, and I bought and a lot of times history, and so I'm kind of a nerd in that fashion, well, in a lot of fashions, and I bought this book called The Big E, which is a history of the USS Enterprise, which was the most, well, I don't know how you'd put it, but it was a very influential in World War II. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist anymore. It was actually scrapped, which is really sad. But it was one of the first nuclear-powered ships, and may have been the first. I haven't read it yet. So I've started reading it, but hadn't got into the goody of it yet. So just ships in general have always, to me, are just incredible things that man makes. The first ship I ever saw up close and personal was the USS North Carolina, which is a battleship, World War II battleship in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I remember as a child, our family went down and we were going to the beach, and that was one of our stops. And, you know, I was probably maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. I had never in my life seen anything so big that could float on the water. And, of course, I'd never been to the beach before either, so they don't keep a lot of battleships in the lakes around here. So, but when we pulled up into the parking lot and just seeing how big that thing was, I'm like, good grief. And looking at it now, I mean, it is a big ship still, but looking at it compared to the ships they have now, and especially like cruise ships and all, it's not, I won't say it's nothing, but it's still not as big. But just then, being that was the first one I'd ever seen, it was just amazing. And I loved crawling around on that thing. I've been back, of course, since I'm as an adult a couple of times at least, and just love the living history of being able to see that thing on board. And, you know, I've been wanting to go see some other ships. The USS Yorktown, which is an aircraft carrier, is down at Charleston, South Carolina. And I've been down there several times on business and ride right by the thing. You go across the big bridge there, and you see the thing sitting over there, and I'm like, golly, I need to stop and see that thing, but I can't do it, you know, on company time, so I gotta get above average Joe to run down there with me maybe a week or a few days at least, maybe do some camping down there and see if we can go see the USS Yorktown. Also down in Charleston is the Hunley, which was the Civil War submarine that's down there. They found it back just a few years ago. I forget what year it was they found it, but they brought it up, and they're working on, I don't think they're restoring it, but they're going to preserve it, I guess is the right terminology to allow people like me and other curious people to have a look at it and check out what how primitive the technology was then, and how brave those men must have been to get in that little thing. It was actually, the Hunley was actually made, the body of it was made from an old steam locomotive boiler, from a train, you know, boiler, and then they just modified it from there. So you can imagine, yeah, we're gonna make a submarine out of this old boiler, and you're going to crawl down in it, and you're going to pedal your way. It was man-powered. It was either pedals or cranks or something that they turned to turn a propeller to propel the thing. And they actually succeeded in their mission. They delivered a bomb to a ship, and I don't remember which ship that is because I'm not reading this off a website. This is just strictly from memory. But they delivered their bomb, and unfortunately, they did complete their mission, but they perished in the process. I don't know that they know exactly what happened yet. I was reading an update not too long ago about it, but they're still working on it, I guess, and maybe they know more than I'm aware of. But 914-219-0884 if you want to call me and talk or chat, whatever. I'm up for it. So going back to, you know, being fascinated by ships, after we went down to see the USS North Carolina, not too many years later, couldn't have been too many because this was in like 1970, we ended up moving to the coast down in Brunswick County. And at the time, the school where I went was actually at Fort Caswell, which is an island right off the coast of Southport. And because the school in the mainland had burned down, they were using the U.S. Baptist Assembly as a temporary school. And so we were actually going to school on that island, and we could look out the window and right out at the ocean. And these big cargo ships would go by. And, you know, to those kids, it wasn't any big deal because they grow up down there. But to me, I was like, oh, my God, there's a big ship going right by the school. Wow, that was so cool. And I'd never even, you know, like I said, I was just fascinated by it. I remember writing a letter to one of my best friends back in Stanley County telling him about, you know, I'd see a ship almost every day, you know, just sitting in the classroom. And that was a big deal. You know, I still enjoy seeing those ships. When I can go down to Brunswick County or anywhere on the coast, seeing those things go by, because you've got, you know, the container ships, you got the, you know, with the big Maersk containers on them, and you've got the bulk product ships, you know, carrying coal and grain and all that kind of stuff, oil, whatever. Just all different versions of those ships. Anyway, I think we got Mr. Scott on the line. We're going to open up the line for him. Mr. Hello. Scott, what's
How
up,
you?
My friend? I'm
Doing
all right.
Good. Just briefly
you,
on the subject of naval ships I would like to see. It's on the bucket list. I'll probably never make it to Boston. But I've always been enamored with the USS Constitution. One of the pivotal naval vessels to tell us about in school, and I wish I knew more about it, but I think it's still commissioned as a naval ship. I could be totally wrong about that, but I know they poured
the
a lot of time and
sails,
resources.
Right.
I'm sorry?
Is that the one, the sailing ship?
Yeah, it was referred to as a frigate, and that's another designation I really don't understand the meaning of, but apparently it was big enough to get the British a little scared, and won many engagements, but small enough to be maneuverable around the bigger ships of the line that His Majesty sent, you know, to quell the insurrection over here and all that. But I had always heard that they tow it around every so many years just to let the other side of the boat weather, or ship, rather, weather. And at some point they pretty much rebuilt it. I think there's a lot of original timbers left. But at some point I read whether it was hogging, you know, the fore and aft S sections were sagging a little bit.
Yeah.
And they
you answered my question, because I was wondering how much of it was actually original. And seems like I was reading an article about that maybe a couple years ago. And I think maybe like the what do you call that main piece of wood going right down through the middle of the hull? So that shows you how much I know.
Me too.
Anyway, the framework, a lot of the framework, I think, is original.
Yeah, and apparently the nickname is Old Ironsides, and during some engagement, the cannonballs were bouncing off the side of it. Apparently, that was the live oak timbers from, I think it was mostly South Carolina, but could have been some North Carolina involved. I know it's a popular species there, and apparently that gave it some of its strength at the time and some of its longevity. The you know how gnarled the live oaks are. Somehow or another, they fit in perfectly for the cross trusses that they had to support the weight of the guns above deck and all that stuff. That's always been fascinating to me. But here within the last, I don't know, between 3 months and 10 years, I saw something on television where they were moving it around, and it was actually under sail. They didn't have tugboats moving it, and that was just completely fascinating to me.
That would be incredible.
That was neat. It was just a soundbite, and of course an aerial shot, but they showed it, and it was doing its own thing. Pretty amazing to me.
It must be a real privilege for the crew, you know, that crews that ship and to get to actually, I mean, talk about living history, man. That's just incredible.
Yeah, I wish I could speak with someone that, or hear from someone that knew more about it, because as I understand it, the tour guides or whomever are actually commissioned sailors. And they would have to have someone that knew what they were doing, clearly, to be able to scramble up in there and make it do what it used to do. That's just amazing to me that it's, I would assume it's the only frigate left from the Continental Navy, if that's what it was called, the formative years of our country.
Right. Well, that's a good example.
It's on my bucket list. Austin seems like a long way from here, but I'd love to see it.
Well, not that far. It's not like it's in Egypt or something, you know. At least it's on this side of the pond.
Well, that's true. But all that said, I'm glad I didn't get to go back in the day.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's a really good a good example that you brought there. I wasn't even thinking of, actually I did think of the old ships when I was kind of putting my notes together, but I don't really know a lot about them, so I wasn't even going to bring it up, but I'm glad you did, because
same here. You know, it's just a famous name, as you were mentioning, many famous ones. That's one that sticks in my mind.
Yeah. Very cool. I'd like to go see the USS Arizona, too, you know, in Hawaii. But just to honor those fallen soldiers and see that part of history.
Yeah, that's the tragic part we can't ever lose sight of. Not that anyone does, but it is easy to get enamored in the, we beat the British and all that mess, but all the youngins died in that, of course, as they always do. But anyhow, that's all I had to offer. That's one of my favorite famous ones.
Well, thank you, Mr. Scott. I appreciate you calling in and adding your $400,000 worth.
Well, we enjoy the show, but Cherry is not enamored with naval vessels, so I don't think you'll hear from her this week.
Oh. Well, squeeze her up, and I appreciate both y'all listening.
Will do. Keep up the good work, man.
All right, man. All right, talk to you later. All right. Thank you, Mr. Scott, for calling in on that. We've still got more than 10 minutes left. The number to call in is 914-219-0884. Right now we're talking about ships. I've got a mixed bag. I might get around to some more subjects or other topics in this here, but right now we're still talking about ships. I was talking about seeing the cargo ships and all go by when I was a kid, you know, going to school. And since then, you know, one of my fascinations, just thinking about the history of ships, I've always been, and I know a lot of people are in this club, I've always been fascinated with the Titanic. I know that, it's been getting a lot of press, you know, especially since they found it and they brought up some of the relics from that ship, and then the history, and then with the movie, and you know, there's been so many documentaries about it. I've always been fascinated with that, and they're actually I believe that it sank in, I think it was April, I can't remember the exact date, and I want to say 1912 or 1916, something. You know, like I say, I'm not reading this from notes. This is, I'm shooting from the hip today. So it was the early part of the 20th century. I'll just leave it at that. There's actually a modern Titanic being built that's supposed to, it's actually, they're going to actually do the same path from England to New York once it's ready. And I think that's in 2020 or 2021 that it's supposed to sail. And it's supposed to be an exact duplicate. I would assume that the technology of the materials and also of even the navigation and propellant, you know, it's probably not a coal-powered steamship, I would assume. It's probably diesel or natural gas or something that propels it. It most likely could and very well could still be steam, but they're boiling the water with a non-coal fuel. But I don't know that. I haven't really read up on that. It may just be a standard, you know, diesel generators running these big motors that turn the props. I don't know. I have to get back to you on that. 914-219-0884. I think that's really cool, and I think I wouldn't mind. I would actually do it. I think I would. I would take that. But I, you know, it's out of my price range. I'm sure that a luxury liner like that, especially in as historical and iconic as it would be super expensive. The original Titanic was, you know, the first class was, you know, I mean, it was like, I think compared to today's dollars, you know, like $10,000 or more dollars for a ticket. You know, you could get down in third class for maybe a few hundred, but not for the common man. So, Above Average Joe and I have been lucky enough to, we've been on a few ships. We've been on a few cruises on super big honking ships. We went on, let's see, the Oasis, Royal Caribbean. We've been on the Carnival Dream. We've been on Royal Caribbean Freedom of the Seas. And then we were on a smaller ship, and I cannot remember the name of it. But anyway, we've been on a few, and we loved it. We intend on trying to do it again. We want to go, hopefully, on some more cruises before we die. It's definitely a good all-inclusive, you know, vacation and very relaxing, great food. But that was really neat to get to do that. The other, I guess you could call it a ship, and you know, down in when I lived down on in Brunswick County, they had this. They still have them. These ferries, and they, I guess you would qualify that as a ship. It's a big boat if it's not a ship, but they actually carry you and your car, you know, from Southport over to Fort Fisher, and we're back, and. That's a cool experience. You know, it's actually run by the Department of Transportation. It's a state-run ferry, and I think most of those ferries are, and there's some up in the Outer Banks. There's some ferries up there that you can get on. But one of the biggest ferries, Above Average Joe and my mom and dad and myself, we went on a road trip up to Newfoundland back a few years ago, and to get from Nova Scotia over to Newfoundland, because Newfoundland's an island. The Buick, you know, it did well, but it didn't run good underwater. So we got on this big honking ferry. I mean, and it was a ship. It was like the whole front of it opened up, and you pulled inside of it, and it had like, I mean, it was like motorhomes and tractor trailer trucks, and you know, it had a movie theater inside. There was a restaurant and bar, and you know, just all kind. It was a ship. But it was like an 8-hour trip, you know, over to Newfoundland. So that was kind of cool. My dad, you know, he really enjoyed that. He was always, you know, excited to get to do things like that. So you got your, like I say, you got, well, we talked about warships and, of course, modern warships. I don't know much about them, but the ones I've seen, I haven't seen any up close and personal. But, you know, the historical ships, and then we talk about the cargo ships, passenger ships, you know, cruise ships, ocean liners, et cetera, ferries. And then there's like, there's like exploratory scientific, I don't know what you call those ships that they go out and do exploration in the sea, and they have these little mini subs that they launch from them. You know, there's this, and I'm sure there's other kinds of ships, but those are just some that I thought about. What an amazing thing. And you see these ships, I mean, you know, for example, you know, one of those big cruise liners, and as big as they are, it's like a hotel sitting out on the water. But when you get out to sea, I mean, they're nothing compared to the sea that they're cruising around in. Kind of puts things in perspective. No matter how big they are, you know, a big old Poseidon adventure, you know, could wipe them out anyway. A good tidal wave, tsunami. That's kind of scary to think about. 914-219-0884. We still got a few minutes. I was reading. I'm going to change the subject. I told you this was going to be a mixed bag, and I just want to throw this in. This was something I read. I actually saw this on Facebook, and I just thought this was kind of a cool thing. I've never had any sons, but I've got 6 grandsons, and I was reading this, and it was things that you should teach your son, and I think that would apply to your grandsons as well. So here's just a list. Things to teach your son, and this applies to daughters too, and this is kind of a Southern culture thing, so just remember, you know, with the, it's going to have a little Southern flavor to it so far as what you'll see what I'm talking about. So number one, never shake a man's hand sitting down. Number two, don't enter a pool by the stairs. That's just because it's not very manly. You know, you need to jump in. The man at the barbecue grill is the closest thing to a king. That's what I'm talking about. In a negotiation, never make the first offer. And that goes back. I don't have a lot of sales experience, but I was always taught in sales once you make the deal or you made your offer or whatever, you shut up. You don't talk. You just wait for the other person to respond. And whoever talks first wins. Or excuse me, whoever talks first loses. You just have to sit and stare them down. Number five, request the late checkout. That comes in really handy if you're married. Number six, when entrusted with a secret, keep it. That's just common sense right there. Number seven, hold your heroes to a higher standard. And talking about keeping secrets, Mr. Scott can keep a secret. He knows what I'm talking about. let's see. I said number seven, hold your heroes to a higher standard. Number eight, return a borrowed car with a full tank of gas. We're about to run out of time here. Number nine, play with passion or don't play at all. Number 10, when shaking hands, grip firmly and look them in the eye. Number 11, don't let a wishbone grow where a backbone should be. Number 12, if you need music on the beach, you're missing the point. Amen to that. I do not understand why somebody would go to the beach and turn on a radio or something that's, you know, you can do that in the car. Number 13, carry 2 handkerchiefs. The one in your back pocket is for you, and the one in your breast pocket is for her. Number 14, you marry the girl, you marry her family. That is very true. Number 15, be like a duck. Remain calm on the surface and paddle like crazy underneath. Number 16, experience the serenity of traveling alone. I like that one. Number 17, we're going to run up against the clock here. Never be afraid to ask about the best-looking girl in the room. Well, that's not a good idea if you're married. But And number 18, never turn down a breath mint, okay? So we're out of time, but anyway, I appreciate y'all listening, and thank you, Mr. Scott, for your comments and everybody that's listening, and we'll see you next time, so be cool to your school.